Good evening, everyone. Our first song selection this evening, Praise the Lord. This is song 531 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals. Praise the Lord, song 531.
Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore Him. Praise Him, angels in the high. Sun and moon rejoice before Him. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Hallelujah, amen.
Hallelujah,
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, for He has spoken. Worlds His mighty voice obey. Laws which never shall be broken. For their guidance He hath made. Hallelujah, amen.
Hallelujah,
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, for He is glorious. Never shall His promise fail. God hath made His saints victorious. Sin and death shall not prevail.
The song that we will sing before we're led in our opening prayer this evening, My Jesus, I Love Thee. This is song 440 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals. My Jesus, I Love Thee, song 440. We'll sing this song and then we'll be led in prayer.
My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, 'tis Thou. I love Thee because Thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love Thee for wearing the thorns on Thy brow. If My Jesus, 'tis Thou. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore Thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow. If My Jesus, 'tis now.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come to You thankful again for the opportunity to meet tonight. We thank You for our health and our families. Father, please look over those of our number that are not feeling well, that are sick, that are unable to attend. Look over them, if it be Your will, and help them to heal and get stronger and be able to come back and worship with us. Father, as we go into our service tonight, help us to remember that there are many out there in the community that don't know about you. They don't understand the love that you have for them. Father, help us to bring that word out and help them to realize that we do care and that we will hopefully have them attend with us someday. Father, be with us as we learn a little bit more tonight about your word. Help us to understand and apply it to the day-to-day lives that we have. Help us to share all that with the folks that are around us. Father, be with us and take care of us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our next song selection this evening, song title is To the Work, and this is song number 700 in our hymnals. To the Work, song number 700.
To the work, be your servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has drawn. With the balm of his counsel, our strength to renew, let us do with our mind what our hands find to do.
If you would please mark our song of encouragement. That song number is 356. That title is Jesus is Tenderly Calling. 356, Jesus is Tenderly Calling. That's an invitation song that we'll sing later this evening. Once you have that marked, the song before this evening's lesson, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. This is song 622 for anyone following along in our hymnals. Tell Me the Story of Jesus, song 622.
Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the angels in chorus, sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, well of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in the story so tender, clear than ever I see. Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
I think one of the hardest things that God has challenged us with to give to us to do is to have faith without doubting. But yet it's one of the most important things that God has challenged us to do is to have faith without doubting. There's another expression today that's being used that I've heard a lot lately, faith over fear. Have faith. And sometimes, of course, a lot of times that's used and carried out in a secular way even. Have faith in what you're doing. Trust yourself, that kind of thing. But we're talking about having faith in God tonight. You know the fig tree that Jesus used in an illustration? He was going by and came to this fig tree. Now, it might not have been as big as this one. But think about it. A lot of fig trees, this is a full-grown fig tree. Maybe years in making. Maybe that's the kind of fig tree that Jesus saw. And it was out of season. There was no figs on it. And Jesus cursed the tree to die. And so when we think about that, we think, well, why did he do such a thing as that? Well, as so often Jesus did, he had a plan to teach the people a lesson. First, let's look at Matthew, and then we'll go back and look at Mark as well. Matthew chapter 21, verses 20 through 22. And when the disciples saw it, after they came back and saw that the fig tree that had withered, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? Now, first of all, that's a miracle within itself, wasn't it? That the fig tree withered away within a day. If it was a big, healthy tree like that one that we were looking at, we would all marvel too. When the fall comes, we see the trees lose their leaves and become bare. That's normal for our part of the country. But here, this fig tree, that wasn't normal for a tree, something like this to happen to a fig tree. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will be done. Assuredly, or for sure, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, what's your fig tree? I think that's one of the things we need to look at tonight. Or what is your mountain that he's talking about here? The mountain, cast a mountain into the sea. Jesus never cast a mountain into the sea. But could he have? Yes, without a shadow of a doubt, as far as I'm concerned. But think about it. What is your mountain, or what is your fig tree that's keeping you from really giving it all and over to God and really trusting God with all things? I think we all have these in some way, in some place, somehow, that get in our way, that we doubt, or that we worry about, or that, you know, these kind of things that take place. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul worried. He, in some of the writings, he said, I feared that you had, you know, fallen away, or that you had not been faithful, and so I sent Timothy or someone else to you. But we have to understand that God wants us to completely rely upon Him. And he says, if you have faith and do not doubt, this is going to happen. Then verse 22, and whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Again, we, every one of us, need to know that we can trust God. Whatever things you ask in prayer. Now, and I've seen this, people say, well, that's not talking about everything. God, I want a new car, or I want this or that. That's not what God is talking about here. Doing His will, within His will, within His pattern. Whatever you things you ask for in prayer, believing that you will and you will receive them. Believing, having faith, putting all our trust in God. These are the kind of equal phrases that we're talking about here tonight. And so, think about your mountain. Think about your fig tree. Whatever things you ask God for, in prayer, believing, you will receive. Let's go back to the passage in Mark, which I referred to earlier. Mark 11, 22 through 24. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So again, we have this same idea, just stated a little bit differently. Have faith in God. That's where Jesus starts here in Mark. Have faith in God. I think every one of us would say, I have faith in God. I have faith without doubt that God created the universe in 6 days and rested on the seventh. I mean, everything. I believe it was done in 6 days, just like God said. You know, I have faith that Jesus walked on water, that Jesus raised the dead, and we could go on and on. I believe it all. But when it comes to me or us in our relationships with the things that we need to do or we need to work forward with God, we need to have faith in God and not doubt. Because if we doubt what? He believes these things he will be done. If he believes, he will have whatever he says. That's not about us. That's about us relying upon God completely. It's about turning ourselves over. Jesus talked about the mustard seed, right? If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, well, it wasn't about how small their faith was or how big their faith was. It's what they, who they have faith in. We need to have faith in God, in Jesus Christ. And so many times when you're preaching, the lesson comes back to yourself. This is what I need, you know, for me. This is what I want so I can have greater faith, so I can be more, so I can do more, so I can become more for God. He goes on in verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. Whatever things you ask for when you pray. We let doubts and fears get in. We worry. You know, in Matthew it talks about don't worry, right? Because God's in control. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Seek first his kingdom. But that's just the beginning. That's where it begins with us. He wants all of us all the way, all in. And whatever things you ask for in prayer, you'll receive them. And there's another expression, let go and let God have it. You know, let go, trust in God. The lessons then from the fig tree and Matthew and Mark, we've talked about some, but let's just review these two scriptures again. Have faith and do not doubt. That's where the main key of what he's talking about in these verses. Casting mountains into the sea and all things in which you ask for, believe that you're going to receive them. Ask all these things. Believe that you have received them already. That's the emphasis that Mark puts on it. Believe that you've already received them when you pray for them, asking for them. I think this is really important. This is something that we need to incorporate into our lives, into our prayers, into our believing aspect of it, rather than just saying, God can you, God will you. Well, God can and God will, but believe, God, thank you that you've done these things. And believe that you have already received them and they will be granted to you. All things you ask in prayer, believing therefore that you will receive. And what is prayer? I know when we have a public prayer, we bow our heads and pray. That's true. I think also that when we think about what do we do in this situation, believing you will receive them, don't you live a life of prayer? When you're talking to God, you're living, going through life, you're talking to him about everything, your needs, your hurts, your worries, your concerns, talking to God about everything, whatever you ask for in prayer. And so we need to trust God, and it's without doubting, right? I think that's the key, without fear, without doubting, without worry. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 talks about giving thanks in everything. So if we operate out of fear, we're going to say no. We're going to say, no, I can't do that. No, God, I can't go there. No, it won't happen. My brother that I trust and work with in Ukraine, Jeff Abrams is his name, we were on a Zoom call, and he was encouraging me. I said, well, I said on this Zoom call, you know, when the war is over, I really like to take a little bit extra time and go to the cities where I've worked before and put in time and visited. He says, Doug, don't put it off. Don't put off going, because you see, if you die there in a bomb or something, it just means you die a little bit earlier and get to go to heaven sooner. I thought, that's a good perspective, I guess, right? Just don't worry about it. Just know that you're going to be with God one way or the other. You know, I guess one thing that holds me back sometimes is that about dying is that I'm going to leave my kids behind. I'm going to leave my grandkids behind. And I get concerned about that, but I'm going to die sometime and I'm going to leave them behind sometime anyway. So it made me think something a little bit different. He is amazing. Jeff goes all the way to eastern Ukraine, where there's just a few miles from where the war front is at. He said, there's cities now that have been destroyed that I was in a few months ago that I can't go to anymore. And he travels, he's got a system of people that will take him with translators, because his language skills are worse than mine. But his heart is so great. And he always has someone that will translate for him. And he takes him to the most dangerous places. And you never hear a word of fear or being scared or being, you know, like something terrible is going to happen to him. He just goes. And he's working full time now in this ministry of going back and forth. And probably about every 2 or 3 months, he makes another trip into Ukraine, taking food and clothes and Bibles to people without fear. So when God says go, we don't say no. We say, okay, Lord, how do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? There's three things that God says to Joshua. Three times God says to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7, for example, only be strong and very courageous. Only be strong and very courageous. And before Joshua took over, God told Moses, tell Joshua, be strong and courageous. And then after Moses is gone, God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. So if we're strong and courageous, we're not going to be afraid. Do you realize that the Bible tells us only one time in Ai, I think that's the name of the town, where 3,000 people, you know, 3,000 soldiers, Jewish soldiers, were killed because they had the gold hidden under a tent. That's the only time in conquering of all of the land, the promised land, once they started fighting for the land, that a Jewish soldier died. It's the only time it tells us that. Now, that doesn't mean that's the case, but remember one time what God did is Joshua said, God, we can't do this all in one day. And so God said, okay, I'll stop the sun. And the sun didn't go down, and they were able to go on and finish the battle, and they won. Right? Why? Because Joshua was strong and courageous. and was not afraid. And God says, well, you need a little extra help? I'll give you a little extra help. And stop the sun from moving. You know, when I ask, when I think about doubting, he says, of course, in James it says, ask without doubting. In this picture, it reminded me of a place my son, oldest son, took me when he was living in Washington. And we went out, they had a house close to the coast, along the Pacific coast. I mean, not in the bay, but all the way out to the coast. And he took me to this place where the ocean met one of the big rivers that flowed into the place there. And he said, Dad, you see all these rocks? There are literally hundreds of ships that are wrecked out here in these waters, that have sunk out in these waters because of the storms, and they're being cast against the rocks of the storms. I can't imagine. Can you imagine looking at being in one of these old wooden boats when a huge storm hit the ocean? I get carsick, I mean motion sickness when the boat starts going like this, you know, let alone like this. So what does James have to say about this? James 1, 5 through 8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally, to all liberally, without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Is God telling us the same thing here? It's a little bit different. He's talking about wisdom. Ask wisdom and God, I'll give it to you liberally, but ask in faith and don't doubt that I'm going to give it to you. Let him ask with faith, no doubting, because if you doubt, you're like one being on the waves, tossed to and fro without any help in the wind. For let not the man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, for he is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So we believe in God. We believe God has done everything he said that he did in the Bible. We need to believe that God will do everything that he says he's going to do in our life if we let go and trust him without doubting, without fear. And again, this lesson is for all of us, for me. But he always tells the people to be of good courage. 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 9. We know verse 7, walk by faith and not by sight. And of course, that's, again, the same kind of thing that we've been talking about tonight. But let's read the whole text, verses 6 through 10. For we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. While we're here in this body, we are absent from the Lord. I mean, we're not gone to heaven. We're not with him yet. But so what we're going to do? How are we going to live this life? We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. There's so many things we can't see the answers to right now. When we're talking about our evangelism work and our evangelism program, there's so many things that are nebulous out there still. We're just getting started. And we wonder, how can this be? How can this happen? How will this work for us? Can we do it? Those questions are mine too. I want to be able to do it. I want to see it work. It's worked every place. There's been 2,800 plus baptisms in 2025. Through this work across the country. 2,800 baptisms. And it hasn't been all in one place. It's been in small congregations. It's been in larger congregations. It's been in congregations in the far northeast. It's been in congregations in Texas. And so on. It's been all over. And I suppose in the western part of the country too, farther as well. But I know of those. And so what we need to do is we can see what's been done. But what we need to do, what we can do better at, is letting go and letting God have the answers for these things. As we work, as we do his will, that he can do these things with us. Therefore, he says, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. That's our goal, you see. We make it our aim. Like Paul said, I haven't obtained yet, but I press on to the upward call. We make our aim. This is where we want to go, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Fixing our eyes on him, whether we're present or absent. A couple of passages I came across that I looked for. I was looking for the idea of trusting God in the Old Testament. I said, I want a couple examples that we don't normally look for. I like these two passages from Isaiah. He says in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Now, things didn't go very well always for the prophets. Now, I don't think Isaiah had it as hard as, for example, Jeremiah did. But it wasn't easy. It was a difficult, difficult work because he was working with the northern tribes as well as the southern tribes. And so he had a very difficult situation. And it'd be easy, wouldn't it, for him to fear? To be afraid? God, I don't know if I can do this. That's how he started his ministry. That's how Jeremiah started his ministry. God, I don't know if I can do this or not. But he said, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. God is our God. He is our God. He is with us. He says, I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And probably left hand too. You see, God is there with us. Lord, let us go. Let go and let us trust you. Another one from Isaiah 43, 1 through 3. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. Who made us? God. Who redeemed us? God through Jesus Christ. Who formed us, right? He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. And he didn't have the same redemption that we have. I have bought you back. You are mine. Verse 2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now, I don't know if he's literally talking about the waters. You're going to walk through the waters. Are you going to walk through fire? But he's saying, it doesn't matter what comes up in your life, I will help you. Many times God's help for Isaiah and for us is not necessarily that there's no difficulties, but I'm going to help you get through this. And I think that's one of the things we always need to remember, that we can do this. We can get through this with the help and the aid of God, our Holy Savior. So, have faith and do not doubt, right? That's what we're talking about tonight. That means exactly that you believe what you have asked for and it's going to happen. Believe that you have asked for this and it's going to happen. With thanksgiving, I think that's the key here. With thanksgiving, before you receive it, thanksgiving as you're asking. We can be courageous for God. We can be. We can be what God wants us to be, and great things can happen. For we walk by faith, and we walk not by sight, because we don't walk to what we see, but we know what God can do. So, just a question to finish up tonight. How is your faith walk going? How is it? Is it where you want it to be? Can you grow in it? Can we grow in it together? I think yes is all these answers. We can become more and more what God wants us to be. Won't you come to him tonight as together we stand and sing.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is waiting, oh come to him now.
waiting today, waiting today. Come with thy sins at his feet lowly bow, come and no longer delay. Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is pleading, oh list to his voice, hear him today, hear him today. They who believe on his name shall rejoice, quickly arise and away. Calling today, calling, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today.
Is there anyone here this evening that did not have opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper? Would you please be seated? We will sing song number 203, this song title, Hallelujah, What a Savior, song number 203. After this song, we will commune together. Bow with me as we go to God in prayer. Righteous and merciful God, we're so thankful, Father, for your mercy and your compassion upon mankind, your creation. Father, we who were made in your image have transgressed that image and are not fit, Father, to be in your presence. And yet you sent your only begotten Son, Father, and we're reconciled, we're made new, we're made just as if we had never sinned. And so, Father, we glory in that great and precious gift of Jesus, that Lamb, that unblemished child of yours, that Son of God who came from on high and lived as a man and suffered the same frailties that we did, and yet where we fail, he remained strong. Father, thank you for his compassion upon us, that he was so willing to endure all of that, not for his own good, but for ours. Bless your church now and always as we commune together in memory of this great and marvelous gift of love. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Merciful God, we continue in prayer, Father, thankful for that atoning blood, that cleansing agent, Father, that removes the filth of our sins from us, that makes us whole and ready for eternity with you. Father, thank you for Jesus' willingness to endure shame and humiliation and just being a public spectacle and to suffer physical abuse. Greatest of all, Father, to suffer that separation from you when he became sin and he had to endure that all alone, Father, because you could not be where sin was, so he suffered there all alone on that cross with no one, Father, to console. But Father, he overcame death and he rose on the third day, and now he's in heaven and he wants us to be there too. So thank you, Father, for this cleansing blood that we share now in our communion. Help us, Father, to glorify you in the giving of Jesus' blood. It's in his name we pray. Amen. In a moment, we're going to be dismissed with a prayer. We want to keep in mind those that are on our prayer list. We want to keep in mind this evangelism program, the cards that were handed out today. Georgie, you still need one of those, probably. We need to get you one of those. Also, on our way out, anyone that didn't pick them up this morning, the evaluation forms for our minister evaluation. So please do that. They're due back next Sunday. If you bring them after that, it's going to be too late. They'll all be tallied and put together after that. So please be diligent in your look at both of those things. Really a big deal on the evangelism. We want to grow this community, this church in our community, and be a light on a hill and bring lost people, lost souls to Jesus. Jamie?
The men up front, just for like 2 minutes, just real quick.
All right. Our men, please run up here after services and let's talk for just a moment. Is there anything further before we go to God in prayer? Brother Walt.
Heavenly Father, it's always an honor to be able to come together to worship you, the true and living God. We're mindful, Father, of many of our number that do not have this privilege. Among those, while Sister Blair, that was not able to be here today, pray she's better tonight and the rest of the family will not catch it. We pray to bless everybody, Father, that's having problems, helping to get back where they should be. We're mindful, Father, of the turmoil this country's in, the jealousy and the strife and the greed and stealing is going on. We pray, Father, that something can happen to touch their hearts, to get their thoughts in the right direction and not have animosity toward everything. We pray, Father, you bless everybody that's traveling. Bless them, Father. Give them a safe journey that they might reach their destination all right. We pray, Father, that you'll bless us the rest of this week until Wednesday night. Bring us back again at 6 o'clock for a Bible study. Then again next Sunday at 9:30 for a Bible study. And then worship at 10:30. Father, we pray you bless us and help us. It's always an honor to be able to talk with you in prayer. Forgive our sin and finally save us. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Happy birthday, young lady.
Thank you.
I'll get one of those cards for you. See what you want.